Go ahead and open up to Matthew 6. Put a marker in Luke 9. And eventually we'll be over in Romans chapter 2. One of the verses we're going to focus on tonight is one that first came alive to me, that the Spirit first quickened to me way back when Sue and I first launched out into full-time ministry many, many years ago in a galaxy far away, anyway, a long time ago. And it's amazing how that this verse brought such light to our lives at the time and became a major focus. And I walked in the revelation of it that I had at the time. But as we grow in the Lord and your understanding increases, it is just amazing how deep the Word is. And it is very much like looking into a clear lake, maybe a body of water. And at a certain time, you can see maybe 3 feet deep. You can see, you know, you can just... That's all the depth you can see. But then as time goes on, I know the water doesn't change, the Word doesn't change, but we change. Maybe it's my soul becoming less murky. Suddenly, though, you can see 6 feet. Then you can see 9 feet deep. And it's, the Word is just like that. Well, here recently, what's happening, what's going on with me right now, is ever since that verse, if you want to look at it, it's keep your place in Matthew 6. Go to Luke 16. I've known this verse is in the Bible forever in 3 days, but this one in the last few months. It's about the time that I did that message called The Apostles' Doctrine, and I really understood that the apostles were only teaching the same thing that Jesus taught. In other words, the Holy Spirit would build upon that revelation, but He never removed the cornerstone of the teachings of Jesus. And it really hit me, this what Jesus says right here, Luke 16:16, where He said, "The law and the prophets were until John." That's John the Baptist. "Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it." Something has happened in my mind where I'm understanding. And I knew He was teaching the kingdom of God. I can go back on my own messages and find where I've said that. But when I read the words of Jesus during this season, it's like I'm just freshly born again. I just arrived on planet Earth from heaven. I've signed up for Kingdom Living 101. And Jesus is teaching me, this is how you function on planet Earth as a child of God. This is how you do it. And He's the only one that knew how to do it. So He's teaching me how to do it. Now, I know at the time, none of these people were born again. But He Himself says, that didn't stop Him from teaching. He's teaching the principles of the kingdom of God, even though they would not be born again for about another 3 years. He's laying it out. And so when the Holy Spirit, when they did get born again and receive the Holy Spirit, now I understand better why He said, not only did He say the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, He said He's also going to bring to your remembrance everything that I have said unto you. And I said, oh my Lord, that's what it is. He's bringing these foundational cornerstone teachings to the mind of a freshly born again person. It really is like we're freshly here from heaven. I don't care if I've been born again 30 years or more. I mean, right now I'm in Kingdom 101 living. I'm learning how to do this. And the reason I go back to Matthew 6, the verse we're going to look at is one that's been preached. I have preached it. You probably preached it. And, you know, you think you know all about this verse. But it's Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," now, a long time ago, I connected that up with the prayer earlier in the same chapter. "Father, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven." And you see Jesus doing exactly that all through the Gospels. He's going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of who? Oppressed of the devil. Everywhere he finds the devil's work, he undoes the devil's work. And the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and so forth. So I understood that. So when I would read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," knowing that there are many parts in the body, not everybody's an apostle, not everybody's an evangelist, not everybody's this. Each of us, every day, a part of following him is to, "Lord, what would you have me do today? What would you have me do? What am I supposed to be pursuing? What is your kingdom? What part do you want me to play in your kingdom?" I understood that. But I've always had more trouble with the second half of that sentence, which is, "and his righteousness," because it seems like, what do you mean seek it? I've already got it. I mean, and the way I've understood righteousness, for the most part, the gift part. And, we've taught about the gift of righteousness, and we could go right now back to the early part of Romans, and where he starts laying it out like a lawyer, "He that receives abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by one Jesus Christ." And righteousness is a gift. We can't earn it by trying to do good works or keep the law. But, seeking his righteousness every day like that takes about 10 seconds. "Thank you for your righteousness." It's a free gift. I found it. Didn't take me long to seek it. Thank you. And today, with the hyper grace movement, they have whole chapters on that go something like this. The end result will be, no matter how much you sin today, you are still his righteousness. And that's what you're supposed to focus on. I'm not even going to comment on that. If you think Jesus spent his life trying to sin all he could and get away with it, you're following some Jesus that I never heard of. I don't find that kind of Jesus in my Bible. That's not the pattern for our life. He says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And he says, "If you'll follow me, you will not walk in darkness." He didn't say live in darkness. You will not walk in darkness. You yourself will. We all happen to live in darkness. This whole world lies in darkness. But we live in it, but we don't have to walk in darkness ourselves. So what does he mean here in "seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness"? It's more than this, just the blanket. Now, we do have accounted righteousness like a robe. That's what Abraham had in the Old Testament. He went through that eloquently, I thought. Here's Abraham walking up and down through the land that God has given him, and Satan says, "How dare you walk on my land? Adam gave me this land. Who do you think you are? And I know you're just an old sinner." He could have said it like that. And Abraham starts going through his wallet, looking at his credit cards. You remember? Diners Club, no. American Express, no, that's not it. Visa, no. Ah, here it is. Master charge card. Charge all of my sin to the master. That's it. Now, that's accounted righteousness. It doesn't change who you are, but you get accounted to you the righteousness of another. That is that robe of righteousness, where there are several types of that in the Old Testament. Under that covenant, though, if you look... Now, I'm just talking about the men. We're not looking under the robe of any women. If you peel back the robe, you're going to find flesh. You're going to find unmortified flesh, right? Because it's a robe. It's a covering. It's accounted righteousness. But see, the righteousness we have is a whole different thing. We do have that robe. It is accounted unto us. But if you peel back the robe and look underneath there at the real person, the born-again child of God, you're not going to find stinking flesh. You're going to shine like Jesus shone on the Mount of Transfiguration. "If you'll follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life." Your life is light. That's good preaching right there, Brother Gary. So this today, as I was praying and just meditating again, certain phrases came to me. Now, pinch together Matthew 6:33 and Luke 9:23. Okay? Where you can just flip back and forth pretty easy. That's a fairly short pinch. Not real long. Okay, so Matthew 6:33 says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's just focus on the first half. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Two things we're supposed to seek. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right? Now, Luke 9:23 says, if any man will come after me, now there's two things. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Deny himself and take up his cross. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Deny himself. Seek ye first, when you wake up in the morning, your attitude of heart, attitude of mind should be, Father, not my will, but thine be done. My life is not about my kingdom. My life is about your kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and let's focus on that part. That, when I was meditating on that, he said to me, most of you are more than you know. And I went, well, that's good news. And this has been going on for a few days in me. And you know how the Lord is. He's just really good and gracious and kind about what he does. He had me listen to the testimony. See, we've been walking with the Lord a while, okay? And we forget. We tend, after you've been with the Lord for 20, 30 years, and especially most of your influences are from church people, and you get fairly insulated if you're not careful, or, you know, maybe it's a good thing, from the world. So he had me listen to the testimony of somebody who was 20 years an atheist and a drug addict. Wrecked his family, had a child, blow all the money all the time, stealing, was in and out of jail all the time, you know, hated God, was raised to hate God, didn't, if there was a God, I'm not even sure there is a God, if there is one, I hate him. And this guy got radically saved. And he goes through the testimony of how difficult it was to deny the flesh and let the Holy Spirit lead him out of that, you know. But now he's been out of it for a long time, like us. But we tend to forget. See, I tend to forget the Gary who was a drunk for 10 years. Not a drunk, but an alcoholic. There's a difference. I was a functional alcoholic. I was pretty good at, in fact, I was a little better at, it would desensitize my conscience where I could more easily make your money my money. Anyway, I'll show you a magic trick. I'll show you how to turn your money into my money. But that was in a galaxy far away. You tend to forget. And boy, was my life about my kingdom. My life was about my kingdom. All of the things he mentions here in Matthew 6, where, you know, how are we going to live? How are we going to clothe ourselves? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Every waking thought I had, every decision I made was, how does this affect where we live? How does this affect the school where I send my kids? How does this affect the car we drive? I was exactly that person. But to switch kingdoms, to switch mindsets, you forget over time. Your life's not about your next crack hit, which I never did crack. Your life's not about alcohol anymore. Your life's not about your next high. Your life's not about your business, really, even though he wants you to be good stewards over your business. Your life becomes about his kingdom. Now, if he leads you into business, you should be the best steward that he has. You should be, let him train you. But your business in that case would still be putting his kingdom first if he's called you to be a businessman. Am I making? Now, what about you mothers that cook and clean and deal with every kind of mess that can be thought of? You know, don't tell me you're not seeking first his kingdom, taking care of your kids and raising up godly seed and all of that kind of thing. See, that's exactly. So we get too hard on ourselves, you know. Now, even at this stage, I've been at this a while, you know. I'm going to join the 70s club in January. I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, what's 69? That's not 70, you know. You feel like you accomplished something. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, you know. But even after all these years, if I don't deny myself, you know, well, I'm tired of, I want, I want a bigger ministry. I want a bigger house. I want a bigger boat. If my focus starts turning again back to myself, where my life every day is not really about His kingdom, my life really starts becoming about my kingdom. Well, that's how you wind up fleecing the sheep. You start compromising the word of truth, and it's all based on expanding your kingdom, see? So when He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you pair that up with Luke 9:23 that says, let him deny himself. See, every day your life is about one kingdom or the other. You're either about His kingdom or you're about your kingdom. Let him deny himself. Now let's take the second part, because it really goes to hand. Now I'm understanding it, why he says you better seek after this. Every day, two things you got to put it first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Number two, and His righteousness. Now, His righteousness that He's talking about there is walking in the light as He is in the light. Going back to John 8, he that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That walking in the light of life, it's just another way of saying seeking His righteousness. How do you walk in the righteousness He has given you? Not in the sense of performance like under the law. Righteousness is a free gift. It comes by the nature. It comes part and parcel with the new birth. That new man, Ephesians 4 says, is created, and I like to say from the get-go, in righteousness and true holiness. Well, how do you do that? How would you seek first the kingdom? I made a few notes here. No, how do you seek first the kingdom? We talked about that. How do you deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him? The number one way you do that is to follow the inner witness. You follow, it's Nathan 101. It's Romans chapter 2, and I brought it with me. Just go ahead and turn over there. We might be through with those two, looking at those two verses. Go to Romans 2. See, and these two things go together. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's number one, and His righteousness, number two. And then it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, don't seek your kingdom, seek His kingdom. And take up his cross daily. Well, that's how you mortify. What's the purpose of the cross? It's to mortify the flesh so that you walk in His righteousness. So how do you seek His righteousness every day? I'm trying to picture myself every day waking up. Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. I praise you. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Lord, my life is not about my kingdom. I submit to you. I yield to you, Lord. Help me walk in show me what you want in your kingdom. Show me today how I can serve in your kingdom. What would you have me do, Lord? It's just exactly like Paul on the road to Damascus. What would you have me do? Amen. But then the second part, Lord, I thank you for the gift of righteousness, Father. I'm going to seek your righteousness today. I'm going to seek to walk in the righteousness that you have given me. You see that? Now, wouldn't that also be mortifying the flesh? Or you could say taking up your cross, putting the flesh on the cross. How would you do it on a daily basis? Well, it's Romans 2, verses 13 and 15. It says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, now he's talking about born-again Gentiles, when the Gentiles which have not the law, we were never taught the law of Moses. Boy, if you underline, do by nature, that's new nature right there. Do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, and he means in written form, are law unto themselves. This is exactly what God prophesied twice in Hebrews 8, in chapters 8 and chapters 10. He said, this is the law, the covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with them in that day. I will write my law in their hearts and in their minds. You don't have to have someone come and tell you it's wrong to steal. You've got it on the inside of you, and that is the inner witness. So he says, they are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law. Where is it? Written in their what? Written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, that's the mind, the thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So I was meditating on this, and I wrote this. I'll just read this. It says, following the inner witness of the new nature is how you take up your cross daily and follow him. I would add, this is how you seek first his righteousness. Let's say it this way. He took out your old sinful nature, and he gave you his righteous nature. Now, how do I seek that? What difference does that make in my life? Well, now you've got a voice. There's an inner voice. You get ready to do something wrong, and it's not exactly a voice. People get awful and they get messed up. You know what your conscience is. It's not exactly a voice. You're about to tell a lie, and there's something on the inside of you. It may not say, you may not hear Charlton Heston's voice, thou shalt not lie. You know, you may not hear that, but boy, it communicates, doesn't it? It communicates, and it's, you understand it too. That is how you do it. That's how you see, Lord, today, I'm going to pray like just typical. Lord, I want to thank you for the righteousness you've given me. I want to thank you for the gift of righteousness, that your grace may reign through that righteousness today. Father, my first thought out of bed is two things. Father, your kingdom comes first today. And Father, help me hear the voice of that righteous nature. Father, help me obey that. Help me instantly obey the voice of my spirit. That spirit you gave me, that is righteousness itself. Help me do it, Lord. Help me do it. See, that isn't that seeking first his righteousness? What we do, though, we tend to get up, go wash the sleep out of our eyes, and just go about our day. And in some areas, now not all areas. Again, he said to me, he says, you're walking in more of this than you realize. And he said for me to say that to you in the sound of my voice. It's not just the people in this room. Listen, if you've been following him a long time, you've let that voice of the inner witness purge you already of tons of stuff. If you go thinking back, however long you've been born again, you go back to your life, how it was before and how it is now. He has purged you of so many things. You're further along than you think. But how many of you know he's taken us further than we are? He's taken us further than we are, see? So if I'm going to seek first his righteousness, that's a good thought. His voice has to be stronger than my flesh. That's a good one, isn't it? I heard a preacher, I'd like to take credit for this, but I actually heard a preacher, and I don't remember his name, or I'd give him credit. He said, you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And of course, that's true. But he says, but you can't take away from the fact that a lot of people, they get into prayer lines. One of the most common prayers that we have, they'll say, I need his leadership. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do next, you know. And this preacher said, you know, he says, you know why it's hard for a lot of genuine sheep to follow the voice of the Lord? It's because the voice of the world is too loud in them. They're so accustomed to following the voice of the world, the counsel of the world, the advice of the world. They're so, because they listen to the world all the time. They input the world all the time. And they become way more accustomed to the voice of the world than they are to the voice of the shepherd. And that reminds me of Kenneth Hagin's, one of his How to Follow the Spirit and how you can be led by the Spirit of God. One of the things in there is train yourself to instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Your spirit is Christ in you. What I mean is his leadership when it comes to righteousness. Now, not everything, but when it comes to righteousness, the voice of that new man on the inside of you, that is Christ in you. That's how he leads you. That's how you walk in his righteousness. So the first step to walking in that is to seek that voice. I hate to use the word voice, but it's like the conscience. It has to be constant. It has to be tender. It has to be, you can't be callous in that thing all the time and then think it's going to be easy to follow him. It's not. So he says, there's two. So in Matthew 6, Jesus was saying, listen, you don't have to be like the Gentiles, like they don't have a father, like they don't have a provider. You don't have to be spend your whole life from the birth to the grave. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? He said that they spend their whole lives about their kingdom. No, the promise is you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And now I'm understanding what that means. Becoming very tender to the voice of that new nature. Becoming very quick to obey it, even if I don't always understand it. One time, Sue, now I'm not saying, anyway, it's better to let your wife give her own testimony. Maybe if I mess this up, I'm trying. She was coming out. I know right where she was. I mean, most of y'all have never had the heaven on earth treat of eating a genuine Carl's Coney Island hot dog. Sue and I have been going there since the eighth grade. They've been around forever. They are really, really good. I'm telling you, really good. And one time Sue had gone in there and she'd come out, you know, and she's getting them to go. And I think she's got like, you know, three cheese conies and, with knowing Sue, it's probably a bag of Fritos and a red soda pop. She likes red soda pop with the conies. I don't know. So she never drinks it otherwise, but when she gets conies, it's red soda pop. Okay. She's coming out of there and there's a homeless guy. And now this is not exactly the leadership of the new nature. This illustrates, but it's similar. The voice of the Holy Spirit comes through that same door. See, this is why Dave would teach us. He says, people want to live any way they want to. In other words, I say it this way. They sear their conscience all the time. And then they complain that they can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But he said, that place in you where you hear the voice of your new nature is exactly the same place where you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you go about, in my mind, when he was teaching on it, I saw like it's a door where the, and if you go through life taking 2x12s and nailing them across that door, shut up, new nature. I want to sin. I want to live like I want. Shut up. And you're nailing 2x12s over that door. And then the Holy Ghost is trying to speak through that same door, and you're going, why can't I hear him? Well, you're the one doing that. You're searing your conscience. Well, because what came to Sue was not really the new nature. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, give him. Now, here's where I might mess up. I forget the amount. It might have been $10. It might have been $5. I don't remember. To give that man $10. He said, oh, okay. And then just on the inside, she went, and I'll give him these conies. And the Lord said, no. No, that would be adding to my word. Give him $10. Yes, sir. Gave him $10 and went on her way and enjoyed her conies. See, that voice of the Holy Spirit comes through the same place in us where the voice of your conscience, the voice of your new nature does. If you're quick to obey that new nature, and that's usually to do with the flesh. You know, don't watch that show, don't see that movie, don't tell that lie, don't this, don't that. If you become really familiar with that voice and always obey the voice of your spirit, that makes it so much easier for you to discern and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit when he comes. See, I taught a message here a while back called, you have two lights in you. One is this light of life, and it's the new nature. That's what we're teaching on primarily tonight, is how you walk in his righteousness. But there's another light in you called the light of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God is light, amen? Well, if the Holy Spirit's in you, he's the light. See, and that's a whole different thing. When they sent for Jesus because his friend Lazarus was sick unto death, most of us, without any other leadership, if you've got a healing anointing where everyone you pray for gets healed, and you've got a really close friend that's sick unto death, what's your normal thing? I'll come and heal him, just like he said to the centurion, I'll come and heal him. But see, there was another light that Jesus followed. And he says, aren't there not 12 hours in the day? And he's talking about the natural light, your natural sunlight. He says, that light is to keep you from stumbling in the natural. But he's saying, listen, I'm not walking in the dark. I have another light. I'm not guessing about this. We're not going. Because the Holy Spirit revealed to him that it was a setup, that the enemy had attacked Lazarus for the purpose of drawing Jesus back there because the Jews were lying in wait to kill him. You can read the thing and tell that the apostles, the disciples at that point understood that. They said, well, let's go with him and die with him. They knew. But he says, look, I'm not walking in the dark. So we have two lights on the inside. One is this righteousness, and that's what we're talking about tonight. When he says, seek first his righteousness, you might as well say, follow instantly the inner witness. That's the righteousness. The unborn again man does not have that. That's the Romans 7 guy. He goes, I love you, God. I love you. I want to serve you. I would not have known that coveting is wrong, that lust is wrong, except your law had said, thou shalt not covet. Well, he had to have it externally. Before that, he thought coveting was just fine. And that's the way sinful man is. Who was it? He shared with me a while ago a picture. And this little boy's got like 10 popsicles. His sister's got two. She's got one, the paper peeled down off of it, ready to eat. But she's looking off, talking to her something. And here's the brother with 10 popsicles in his hand. And he's reaching over to bite hers. Now see, that's coveting. That's a perfect picture. That is the flesh. The motto of the flesh is, if it feels good, do it. Second stanza is, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And the unborn again person has no inner light, has no righteous guide. He has to have something external and then try and keep it. That's not the righteousness that he gave us. The righteousness he gave us is the inner witness on the inside. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his kingdom first, and his righteousness. All day we are to seek to follow the leadership of that inner witness, even when you don't understand it. Even when you don't understand it. And as the more closely you follow that light, the more easy it is to follow the second light, which that's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Most people do not hear his voice because they are accustomed to hearing the voice of the world and the voice of their flesh rather than the voice of the new nature. When it comes to walking in righteousness, the voice of your... Now get this. I struggled with this sentence. The voice... When it comes to walking in righteousness, the voice of your new man is the commandment of the Lord. To deny that voice is to deny the Lord, because that's the righteousness he gave you. Well, how am I going to walk righteously? You got to obey the voice he put on the inside of you. Well, I don't want that. Well, you're denying the Lord. You're not the first one. You won't be the last one. You know, he's long-suffering with us. Long-suffering. And a lot of times we don't understand because we've been taught false doctrine for decades. But the truth of it is, when we stand before him, there really is no excuse for sin. Because he gave us his righteous nature and expects us to obey it. Lots of amens on these. I got one. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John. I'm going to close here and get out of Dodge. No, I'm teasing. Go to 1 John. You know, we went through that whole passage of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. We spent several weeks and maybe months going through each and every verse. And Jesus said amazing things in there. If you abide in me and I in you, you'll produce much fruit. He that loves me, he keeps my commandments, and on and on. You know, and in the Amplified, it says, he that really loves me. Which the implication there is not just who says he loves me, but he who really loves me, he'll keep my commandments. He'll do what I say. Well, that's John, see. John, the Apostle John. That same guy, near the end of his life, after a lifetime of serving the Lord, he's summarizing. And he writes this in John, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. It says, hereby, I love how this is worded, hereby we do know that we know him. See, again, right there in Matthew 7, the next chapter over from where we started tonight, he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. Many will come to me in that day, and they'll say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And I will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you that work iniquity. So there's two things there. I never knew you, and you're still working iniquity. Okay? And I usually couple that teaching up with Paul's counsel to Timothy, where he says, let everyone that names the name of Christ, first off, the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How do you do that? How do you depart from iniquity? This lesson tonight. This is how you seek first his righteousness. If you trust me, his nature in us will never lead you into iniquity. He will lead you out of iniquity. Amen? All right? Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him. What if I said, he that saith, Lord, Lord, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments? But he says he knows the Lord. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word. Now, it starts with his word in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll just tell you, that's the cornerstone. That's the foundation. You start there. You don't need a special word from the Lord. You've already got a special word from the Lord. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It starts there with his commandment. But then when you get born again, now you've not only got the inner witness, how to walk in the light as he's in the light, how to walk in righteousness, but now you've got that second light, which is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's his commandment comes by the new nature. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. But it also comes by give that lady $10. Give that guy your pickup that time. Do this, do that. Gary, have you always obeyed his commandments? Going on to the next verse. Well, none. I don't know anybody that's perfect. Do you? I don't know anybody. But we're all, the point, what he's after is us striving. This is our life, to seek first his kingdom. Father, your kingdom comes first. And I want to walk in your righteousness. I'm seeking that righteousness. I'm getting quiet and listening for the voice of that new nature. Lord, help me not one time today violate that voice. Help me I've told you this story before, you know, you can callous that place in you. How do you do it? Just give yourself to the world too much. Give yourself to the world. Right now, okay, are we through there? Where are we? Where did I tell you to go? What day is this? No, what what verse are we in here? I lost my... 1 John. Let's finish that first, and then we'll go... Somebody remind me, James, okay? James. Okay, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3-6. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now that's the written commandments, but even just as much as that, it's also that daily leadership, the commandments that come by the new nature. The commandments that come by the new nature. You got to follow that. That's him. That is Christ in you. That is how he leads us in righteousness. But he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. I know him. Do you keep his commandments? No. You're a liar. The truth is not in you. I don't care how big your church is. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. See, these are the two things in that I read this morning from Paul's writings in Philippians chapter 3. He said, there's two things that I strive for now. I forget all of that pedigree stuff about being of the tribe of Benjamin, being of the seed of Abraham. I forget all that. There's only two things that I care about. One, that I might be found in him. Remember that? And that I may know him. And both of them are in this verse. Both of them are right here. And it says, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And it says, hereby know we that we are in him if we keep his commandments. See? You see that? He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. Boy, if you underline, walk. Walk even as he walked. He is not talking about the positional truth of righteousness. He's talking about walking out the temporal truth of righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, and he is talking about our walk. Who was it? Somebody centuries ago, a Christian says, preach the gospel every day. When necessary, use words. You're supposed to be a light. Be a light. Jesus said, let your light so shine that men will glorify your Father in heaven. And the one thing he was not talking about was let them know about your giving, let them know about your prayer life, and let them know about your fasting. Not those things. That's private. That's between you and God. Now, he's talking about lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And they'll go, you know, your God might just be God. They see you heal the sick, open blind eyes. Victoria get her brain fully formed in her. Say, I believe your God is God. Tommy Perez stands here in this pulpit and gives his testimony himself. Your God just might be God. Did I say it wrong? Victoria, anyway. Okay, yeah, Victoria, yeah. Amen. All right, James, let's go to James. We're in James. I have not a clue. James. Yes, sir. Okay. You wait, it's your turn up here. You. We're talking about the voice of, you know, why is it so hard to hear the voice? How come it's hard to hear that leadership? Well, you got to remember the book of James is written to believers. It's not written to unbelievers, right? It's written to believers. So James chapter 4, verse 4. And this is written to believers. And he's not talking about shacking up in the flesh here. Not necessarily. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses. What? What are you talking about? I ain't been sleeping around. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? That's very King Jamesy. What it's really talking about is the Lord is wishing he had the same relationship with a lot of Christians that those Christians presently have with the world. They're in love with the world. Worldly. And from God's point of view, it's adultery. He says, you know, you're my wife. You're my bride. You're my bride. Why are you in bed with the world? You say you love me, but you spend all your time with the world. Then you wonder why you have trouble hearing my voice. You're hearing the one you're spending the time with. Verse 6, but even in that condition, notice, he giveth more grace. You got a good husband. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does that mean? Even after this, if you submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In the context, he's not talking about having a deliverance service where we all lay hands on you and we resist you, devil. No, how do you resist the devil? Turn the world off. How do you resist the devil? Quit fellowshipping. Get out of bed with the devil. Get out of bed with the world. I would recommend maybe, see, I heard one time from a preacher somewhere, he said, you know, if you'll speak in an unknown tongue, you're not talking to men. You'd actually be talking to God. I think that would be called fellowship, wouldn't it? You might resist the devil by turning off the world and maybe spend that same time praying in tongues, worship, blow the dust off that Bible at home. Not just here. Fellowship with him in the Word, you know. He says if you'll do that, If you would resist the devil, and in context, you can only take it one way. How would you resist the devil? No, I'm not going with you today. I'm not going to the world with you today. No, I know I've been going to the world with you a lot. I'm going to resist you by not going with you to the world. Me and Jesus, we're going to talk. We're going to have some fellowship together. Me and my real husband. I want to be in the Word with, I'm going to pray, I'm going to worship. Okay? And he says, if you do that, notice, draw nigh to God. How would you do it? Like I just said, draw nigh to God. Notice, he'll hold a grudge and never take you back. Is that what your Bible says? No, you draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And this is written to believers. This is not talking about unbelievers. They've sinned by just giving themselves over to the world. That's all. But he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And boy, if that doesn't describe the generation we live in. I want to be a Christian. I want to, you know, one foot in the church and one foot in the world, you know. And that's double-minded. No? We're in the world, but not of the world. And be afflicted and mourn. He just means, if your condition is like this, and you've been giving yourself in adultery to the world, you should be afflicted and mourn. This is called repentance. I'm sorry, Lord. I am so sorry. I don't care what these hyper grace guys say. You need to repent and tell the Lord you're sorry. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. But notice, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. He'll take you back. He'll restore you. Just like the prodigal son. You come back, man, he'll put the ring on your finger and the robe on you again, put the sandals on your feet, kill the fatted calf. We're having a party today. Amen? All right, so I'm going to finish with this. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to me that means every day, first thing, Lord, your kingdom first. Not my will, thine be done. Help me. Help me find my place in your kingdom. What is it you want me to do? What would you have me do? And the second one, seek after his righteousness. That means, Lord, keep that place tender within me where I hear the voice of my new nature. I can tell you from experience, you can callous that. And then, just like James there, humble yourself, repent. I've actually asked him, I said, Lord, help make tender again that place, that voice of the conscience within me. And he'll help you do it. He really will. And pretty soon, that voice will be back again, strong.